people come like this. Thank you for your word. Thank you for revelation that is found in your written word. I view Jesus even as he sees us in himself. He's glorified and verified in Jesus' name. So I don't know the section we are in. I know we are around section 8 or 9 or thereabouts. Amen. So we are looking at the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. So, 2 Peter 3. Okay. Second Peter 3, verse 15. Now we said, on account that the long suffering of our God is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Amen. As written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things which are some things hard to understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as do the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So we said that Peter was giving a commendation of Paul's writing. Amen. Now he equates it with scriptures. Now very vital. So this was a commendation of what Paul has written. Amen. Of Paul's writing. So he wasn't contradicting Paul. He wasn't telling people to stay away from Paul, as some people have tagged it to be. He was actually commending Paul and saying that and equate it with scriptures. We also said that when he says those who are unstable do rest and unlearned, he said, remember, they did not just do that to Paul's writings alone. Amen. They did it both to Paul's writings and as they do the other scriptures. Amen. So that is very vital. So shows you that also Paul's writings are writings that should be studied well. Hallelujah. So in our studies, we said we asked the question. Also, lastly, okay, why that is the word lastly now? We also said he qualifies Paul's writing with the use of the word sophizo, meaning the message in Paul's writing is the message of scriptures. We said that. Now, for him to use that word sophizo, where you have the word Sophia used by Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, where Paul said to Timothy he has known the message of scriptures, which is able to make him wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we said also Peter there, by using the word sophizo for Paul's writing, says makes you see that Paul's writing epistle that singles Paul's writing from the normal secular writings. Amen. From the normal secular writings. Whereby in Paul's writing you will find the same message of scriptures. Amen. Amen. The same message of scriptures. And this is very vital. And so what we ask ourselves, the message of scripture, what it is, and we saw it, right? The message of scripture is faith in God. Faith in God's salvation. And then the work in it. So the faith, our faith in God will produce a work in salvation. We said all that. Now we looked at the fact that this will become very prevalent, or this will be very important. If you go through all of Paul's writing, you find out that Paul will follow the same order. Not just Paul, you also find it in the writings of Jesus also. It will follow the same order. Our teaching of how our conduct should be will flow from the message of faith that is in Christ. Amen. Will flow from faith. So that is what it is. Hallelujah. That's what it is. So outside faith. Now, so that means while we walk the way we walk, our conduct is not just, God is not just going to judge conduct as conduct, whether it's good or bad. He's going to judge conduct as what is leading to it. Did you see that? The intention of conduct. So our conduct is a proceed from our faith. Like Pastor Shego shared, he met someone one time and wanted to preach to the person. And the person said, oh, you don't need to preach to me. I don't smoke, I don't womanize, I don't drink, I don't do evil, I don't do bad. And everybody know him for that. You get? So Pastor Shego said, he said to him, so years back, he said, you know what, years back, he said he will not preach like that anymore, but he just said to him, you can just, you know what, go ahead and do those things. Why? No, go ahead and do those things because you are not different. Hallelujah. You get what I know? Is that not what this being born again thing is all about? He says, no, go ahead and do what you are doing because you will still be destroyed. Did you get that? Amen. Because that is missing the major thing. The major thing there is that the conduct will flow from faith. Hope you're following me. Who flow from faith? So we then ask ourselves the question, why do we do the way we do? Why is our conduct the way our conduct is? It's a very vital question the believer will always ask himself. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing good? Oh, it's not that I don't go to hell. No, that's not the reason. Hallelujah. The reason why you do good is because it's a product of your faith. Hope you're following me. The reason why I wouldn't kill someone is because it's a product of my faith. Hope you're following that. God is love. Hope you're following me. So it's a product of faith. No, I don't want to kill somebody so that they will not kill me. That's a wrong. That's a wrong reason for not killing. Amen. Hope you're following me. That's a wrong reason for not killing. It can be a right reason. Okay with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, work must always proceed from faith. That's what it should be. Amen. So just around that. So you know and that is why Christianity is different from other religions, from other belief systems. You know, one day like that, my dad was telling me about how good someone who is a Muslim was. I said, that person is not saved. Amen. That person is not saved. Now, can you find good people in other religions? Yeah, they are. But what is the source of that? What is the source of that goodness? Hope you're following me. Hope you get that. Where is it coming from? Oh, I don't want to go. Did you get me? That's wrong. You should proceed from faith. So, very right. So we said, you'll find it almost in all of Paul's teaching that the way he would teach conduct, the way he would deal with conduct, will flow from faith. To come from faith. Hallelujah. Amen. So apparently we are going to get to chapter 2. Okay, we're already in chapter 2. And something I want to tag chapter 2 as is, you know, if you watch Paul's tone in chapter 2, is very absolute. And then I think chapter 2 is Paul's high point in his letter to Colossae. Chapter 2 of Paul is his high point in his letter to the church at Colossae. He used words that we will have to explore shortly. But let's say a few things about Colossae. A few things. So just to refresh our mind of some things we said earlier on in the teaching. We said Colossae is the church at Colossae is a church where the environment was already meandering into the church. The environment. And what is the environment? Colossae, a cosmopolitan city, just like we have major cities in our world. So what you'll find there will be just like a city called Lagos, what you find is different belief system. So Paul had to deal with different belief systems. You have to deal with different belief systems. Paul will deal with, we're going to look at some of those belief systems, mistrust. Mistrust. You know, a cosmopolitan city like we have in Lagos, you have intellectuals. Intellectuals. As we get and journey into chapter 3, you'll discover how Paul will now deal with intellect and some of these things. So so their definition in, we'll get to see some of this, the definition of, or Paul will now call intellect idol. Do you see that? Because what they now worship is their intellectuals. Did you get that? So idol will now move, in Paul's writing to Colossians, idol will now move from graven image to what? Knowledge. So Paul has to deal with a church, with a group of people who are knowledgeable, just like Corinth. Did you see that? Amen. Has to deal with people who are knowledgeable. Glory to God. Belief system syncretism, which we said is mischievous of its kind. So I have it here in my note that Paul will face in chapter 2, as we get into reading, or as we've been reading, 1 in verses 8, Colossians 2, 8. We were here last week. He says, I'll talk on verses 3 first. Verse 4. He said, and this I say, this any man should beguile you with enticing words. What that enticing words? I would say that word enticing word there is the way you have the word pitanologia, which is the word used for flattery, from two word petio, which is used for flattery, flattery and logos, flattery words, persuasive words. Hallelujah. So let no man entice you with persuasive words. Amen. Good speeches, that's what it means. Good speeches. Convincing speeches, that's what it is, persuasive, something to drag your side. And watch it. He graduates that and he calls it in verses 8, Colossians 2, 8. He calls it in verses 8, he says, for you true philosophies. You see that? He calls it philosophies. So the philosophy will flow from verses 4. Amen. Persuasive word. Philosophies. So he used that word there, philosophies there. That is the word for philosophy there means love for knowledge. Love for knowledge. A love for knowledge. Theories. Science. Amen. So that means they will have people who are very knowledgeable. Science. And science here will be majorly Eastern religion. Theories, Eastern religion. Humanitarianism. I'm going to explain that. Now, Eastern religion, so people have to deal with all this. Amen. Paul have to deal with all this here. Where people think, and you find it in some of these religions we have in the world. Amen. Religions you have in the world. Humanitarianism. Where men will say, or where people will say, the expression of God is inhuman. I don't know if you've heard that. Amen. For some people who dabbled into Da Vinci Code and likes like that, you have to, you know, those are books that have full of unwanted, unethical, I call it unethical knowledge, unwanted, unneeded. Amen. But people have delved into such things. Amen. They say the expression of God is man. That Jesus is God. Jesus came so that, I've heard this one very well, that Jesus came to show us how men ought to live. That everybody automatically, and now you find this under universalism, everybody automatically by Jesus' death is saved. So Jesus now comes, he didn't come to start a religion.
Now, that is where that talk, because it's not a religion. That is where that talk will lead to. Did you see that? Now, he doesn't come to start any religion. No. He just came to express to us that man is a higher form, or man is a lower form of God. Did you see that? That the expression of God can be in man. And you will not pick it because it mentions it, because the name Jesus was mentioned. Did you see that? And that is where, as believers, we have to be very careful. The fact that Jesus is mentioned in the statement doesn't make the statement true. Or Christ is mentioned in the statement doesn't make the statement true. Okay, follow me. It will make people who are Krishnas. I don't know if you've met anybody like that. Are Krishnas. They will tell you, you just have to keep meditating on the word. Just keep meditating. Put your mind on the word. It's not a joke. I used to have a roommate in school then who was an Hare Krishna. I wanted to say Hare Krishna church. Hare Krishna. He wake up in the morning. He has a small piece of paper. Small. And then he was reading for that piece of paper. What he has done is he wrote down his confession. So in the morning, when I'm waking up to do my morning devotion, he's waking up the same time. So he's having devotion. Amen. So I wake up to do my morning devotion, and I'm walking, I'm pacing the floor outside the hostel, and he's also pacing the floor, but this time he's with the paper, and he's reading out those things. Tiny paper. So one day I wanted to see what he said, I couldn't even see, very tiny. And he would say those things every day. Come on, follow me. Amen? Amen? They would say, that guy, very truthful, very, amen, amen. So, you have persuasive words, right? So, Paul will have to deal with love for knowledge. And we saw this last time. We said, how Paul deals with this is that he said, you don't love knowledge, you love the Lord, right? You love Christ, right? Was that what we said? Okay. He says, beware, let any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit after the tradition, he called the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. You see that? Amen. Another thing Paul will have to deal with is in verse 16. He said, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of holy day, or new moon, or Sabbath days. So there is legalism here. Legalism. Where you have to do the do's and the don'ts to please God. It's not faith that please God, but the do's and the don'ts. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So, and actually this is very vital. This is actually Judaism in quotes, where you have to keep the culture of the Jews. Culture and the tradition of the Jews. The third thing that Paul will have to deal with within chapter 2, as we will see, will be from verses 18 into verses 23. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. And this in itself is Paul is dealing with mixtures, because mixtures of both legalism and knowledge. Just every mixtures. Read that into verses 23. But we're going to get to that and then we'll see. Amen. But something that will be key will be that Paul is going to raise his bar. Okay, let me not use that word, raise his bar. Paul is going to be very absolute. And then, you know, unlike the churches where he was their direct pastor, that he will use words like, who has bewitched you, right? He will be very absolute, right? Yet, he will pass across his warning. Very absolute. He will be absolute in telling them about Christ's knowledge. And then, he will be absolute about telling them about Christ's knowledge, teaching them about Christ, and at the same time too, right, he would pass across this warning in a very modest manner. that is very right. In a very modest manner. So we stopped at verses 8, if I'm not mistaken. 9. So let's take from verse 8 again. Amen. See, beware. Colossians 3 say, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Amen. After the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. So we saw that last time. Amen. So when you use the word rudiments, there will stay is the word principle. Principles without Christ. Amen. Principles. Worldly principles. Theories. Then verse 9 now says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Christ. Amen. So now, when don't read verses 9 alone. I wrote something somewhere. Sorry. Skip this a little. I wrote something. Sorry. Oh, I don't think I have that. Yeah, I wrote something there. Okay, verse 9. So he said, so you shouldn't read verses 9 away from verse 8. They should be read together. Amen. They should be read together. So, he says, for in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. So, remember, he has said in verse 8, let nothing rob you of your joy, which is, now he was referring to philosophy, right? Let nothing rob you, the spoil that is to rob your true philosophy, and when this is after the tradition of men, rudiment of this world, not after Christ, for in him dwelt. Now, that word dwelt there is the word katoyu, right? Katoyu, used for where one stays. Amen. Amen. So, in that sense, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. Amen. So, it means all of God dwells in Christ. Hallelujah. All of God dwelling in Christ. So, when you use the word fullness, there is the word pleroma. 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 I guess we were young Friday, the last time. I was saying, pleroma is used for the gospel. Ah, yeah, I remember we got it. Romans 15:29, Romans 11:25, Romans 13:10. 15:29, 11:25, 13:10, used for the gospel, the fullness of the gospel, to fully disclose. So yeah, the pleroma here is the pleroma of the scriptures in Christ. Amen. Amen. So that means the knowledge of God will be found in Christ. The conclusion will be found in the Christos. So that's what they say. Remember, they are vain philosophies, right? Different theories. They said, no, the knowledge of God is in Christ. That's what he's saying to them. Hope you're following me. See, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Did you see that? So that means your knowledge of God will be found in Christ, not in other philosophies. So that's why I say you don't take it, you don't read it outside verses 8. Amen. So we can say the scriptures find their fullness in Christ. The Godhead there, the word Godhead is not like, I would like to use that expression. Listen, the Godhead dwells in Christ. No. Godhead is what? Theotis of God. Amen. So, theotis there means the things of God. In this case, it's dealing with information, knowledge. Amen. So, the Godhead there is actually referring to knowledge about God, knowledge of God. Theotis. He said it's found in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get to verse 10. He says, dwells bodily so much. Because with all that, verse 10 now says, and you are complete in him. Watch it. He says, you are complete in him. You are complete in him. Now, when he says you are complete in him, again, don't lose sight. If I were to read, if I were to write this, all this will be part of verses 8. You see that? Everything like this down will be part of verse 8. If I were to rework it, I'll take away the verses 9 and verse 10 and put everything as part of verse 8. Hallelujah. Because he's communicating the same truth. He's dealing with the same thing. So don't take it. So don't take it out. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying, okay, don't allow anyone spoil you through vain philosophies. Right? Then he says, there's no knowledge of God that is outside Christ. Did you see that? All the knowledge of God will be found in the Christos. Right? God is revealed in the Christos. That's what he's saying. The knowledge of God is found in Christ. He now says, and you are complete in him. Did you see that? So when he says you are complete there, will imply that, okay, I have a bit of it here. Okay. You are complete with him, we apply that we by faith we have come into that fullness. This is that, so he brings us into that fullness. You remember, he says the fullness of God is in Christ. Now he's not saying we are complete in Christ. So that means we have come into that fullness by faith. Hope you are following me. We have come into that fullness by faith. Accomplished. So, here's something else. You are complete in him will be, you are complete in his resurrection. Remember, that fullness, the Father dwelling in him in full. Remember, when we go back to chapter 1, he was dealing with the resurrection. Right? Right? So, go back to verses 9. For him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the knowledge of God is found in Christ. Right? And that's why you are complete in him. In that fullness, in that resurrection, we find our completion. Or we are complete in his resurrection. That's better. Amen. Amen. So, you shouldn't read verses 10 out of verse 8 and verse 9. You see that? Don't read it. Apart from each other. So, he says, what Paul is saying, remember he's dealing with philosophies. He says, what he said is that in the resurrection, you are complete. In his resurrection, you are complete. In his resurrection, you are complete. Therefore, your knowledge of God should be about him. So when Paul says, you are complete in him, he's using that to say, don't go further. How do I follow that? Amen. You are complete in him. I know some people say, oh, we are complete. Some people use it for marriage. They say, no, you are not complete. I'm not complete in him. I'm in him complete. Use it for Christ. It's good to say use it for identification, right? We are complete in Christ, right? We are complete in him. All my body, nothing is outside. This one is, you are not entering something else. And I'm doing something else. Glory to God. No. But we say you are complete in him, you are complete in him. Hallelujah. And he was dealing with knowledge. Paul is using it to say you don't go further in your quest. Don't go further. You are complete in him. This is the end of the road. Amen? Amen? All of God is found is revealed in Christ. So stay there. Stay with Christ's knowledge. He's saying, stay with the scripture. Don't go further. Don't go further. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we need to know this very well. Now, notice again, he calls him the head. Verses 10. The head of all principalities and power. He has said this before. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, he has said this. He has said this before in chapter 1. Let's get back to chapter 1. So, what Paul's expression of the same thing here? Verses 18. Say, for he is the head of the body, right? The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in him also must have the premier, for he pleased the Father, and he shall have the fullness dwell. Can you see that? The same expression of the fullness of the Godhead. Did you see that? Or the fullness dwell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in verses 16 too, you see, from verses 15, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, but by him the earth is created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, whether visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principality or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and is before all things. So what he's saying here is that Jesus is, I told you, he is above, right? Right? And he's talking about the knowledge of Christ. He said the knowledge of Christ is above. So he brings the same expression here again, calling him the head. There places the knowledge of God in Christ above every other knowledge. Hallelujah! He places it above every other knowledge. Glory to God! He places it above every other knowledge. Glory to God. So verse 11, say, in whom ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, we looked at this also on last time, when we spoke about circumcision, right? Part of a theme you'll find in Paul's writings. Now, this is the word circumcision. Now, when you hear circumcision, Paul points your attention again back to who? Moses. That's what we said. It takes your attention, takes your mind back to Moses. Yeah. So when you hear circumcision, when you get back to Moses, you see that Moses will use a physical circumcision, which they had as a custom, to talk about what God will do. Amen. Amen. To talk about what God will do. So the essence of Moses's circumcision will be what God will do. Look at Deuteronomy. Well, yeah, last time, but it's good to look at it again. Deuteronomy, chapter 10. Verse 16, says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiffness. The Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regarded not presence, nor take care to reward. So he says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. That means the circumcision, the physical circumcision, as a culture, was pointing to the circumcision of their heart. Chapter 30, verse 6. Deuteronomy 36. It says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. So that means it's God that will do it, right? And the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, that thou mayest live. So, remember when you say here the word to love the Lord thy God, that is faith in God. So, faith in God is that circumcision of your heart. Amen. So, Moses writes it for you to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul also, in Romans 2:29. It says, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So, Paul mentions the circumcision as the circumcision also of the heart. And we can see that. In chapter 3, verse 30, Romans 3:30, he will say, seeing it is one God, who shall justify the circumcision by faith, and their circumcision through faith. Amen. The circumcision by faith and circumcision through faith. So, and that is referable to both the Jews and the Gentiles. Amen. Amen. So what is important is not the circumcision of the body, but the circumcision that is of faith. Amen. Don't play with me. So in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 19 also. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 19. So now let's get back to Colossians. That's just a reference point. Back to Colossians. Now he says, chapter 2 verses 11. He says, in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Now that phrase, made without hands, you'll find a counter of that in Ephesians 2:11. Ephesians 2:11, quickly. Ephesians 2:11. It says, wherefore remember that ye have been time past, where Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. Is that made by hands? So when it says circumcision made by hands, it means it was dealing, that is circumcision according to their custom. Circumcision made by hands, dealing with their custom. Made without hands. That phrase, made without hands, you find it also in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, in Stephen's sermon. Acts 7:48. He says, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, temples made with hands. In chapter 17, verses 24. Matthew 17:24. I mean, Acts 17:24, sorry, thank you. Acts 17:24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that the Lord, He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Hebrews 9:11. Hebrews 9:11. It says, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by his greater the more perfect tabernacle made, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Not of this building means it's spiritual, right? Right? Okay, lastly, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. So, into heaven. Amen. So when it says made without hands there, we deal with what God does. Made with hands, we deal with what man does. Made without hands, we deal with what God does. So therefore, the rest, if you get back, it says circumcision made without hands. We're dealing with what God has wrought in us in Christ. Hallelujah. So you see, we are circumcised with the circumcision not made without hands, which is God's work. Faith, right? Is that faith? In putting off the body of sin of the flesh, that is circumcision of Christ. So the circumcision of Christ is the resurrection. Amen. Amen. So I say the circumcision of Christ, it is with the resurrection. So our faith in his resurrection is what makes us circumcised. Now stop here for a bit and hear this. Now there is no religion that doesn't there's no religion today that let me put it like this. There are religions. Let me not say there is no. There are religions that still talk about Christ, that mentions Christ. Right? That mentions Christ, the person of Christ. That's what I mean by what Christ here now. Person of Jesus. They mention the person of Jesus, but they don't believe in his work of resurrection. So your justification, your ticker, what you tick as right doctrine should not be that Christ is mentioned, but how is it taught? Do you get me? Amen. How is it taught? Go to God. Today, we will have some that will use the Bible. Jehovah's Witness uses the Bible. Right? But yet, they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, Jesus is not called God, he's called a kind of God. Amen. You have some others who I guess this is the great message now, or one of those Eastern culture, Eastern religion that has crept into the world, has been modernized. They'll tell you things like the expression, Christ is an expression. It's an expression. Amen. It's an expression that, in fact, I've even seen one that twisted and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Amen. They've twisted it. I've seen one that twisted that part. So you must be careful. See, he quoted Bible is not a justification for that teaching is right. Somebody quotes Bible is not a justification. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now that was God showing us that man is now God. What's the meaning of that? He would now begin to dab into Christian science. You know what's Christian science? Just keep, and it looks like confessional realities. Amen. I told you guys that years back I used to, I got a hold of a book, I guess, The Secret or stuff like that. Now, and what I discovered was the fact that those guys just picked out words from scripture, like faith words, and then twist it. Because you hear things like law of attraction. Law of attraction, like mine. The reason why we don't have planes that crash, is because people enter the plane. When there are too many people who are afraid, the plane will crash. Did you see that? That is law of attraction. To stop a negative whatever, you have to keep saying something positive. It looks like confessional reality. And that is why confessional reality is not saying positive, it's not being positive, it's saying God's word. There are two different things. Amen. Confessional reality is not about saying something positive, it's saying God's word. So sometimes when you hear people talk about confessional realities, like what Shekhu would say, that if you look at it critically, some of those things that we would call confessional realities or saying the word is actually Eastern religion. Because Eastern religion too, also you will keep saying it. He shared about one of his uncle like that, who later grew up to be a dean of a faculty years back in the 1970s. He said the guy didn't fall sick for 40 years. And he said the first time he was told, and he didn't follow that, he just stopped the guy's born again until he visited the guy. And the guy began to tell him what he used to do. Amen. He would just say, let's say that what you call Christ is an expression of the ability of humanity to handle nature. That nature rests, that man is God. Within this that what you call God is actually man and his ability to subdue nature. So man subduing nature is the reason why man is called God. So he said, let's say something is wrong, you just take on that thing and say it's positive for a long time. You just keep saying that one thing for a long time. Like, I can never be sick, my body is under my control. Just speaking nature and his dominion over nature. I can never be sick. This pain is not real. I can never be sick. This pain is not real. I say it for hours. And then he will now rest with that thought. And then he will fall sick. And he did 40 years. He was healthy. And he got results. Amen? He got results. He said, sir, don't you think there's something about it? There's nothing about it. Amen. It's just rubbish. It's Eastern religion. Did you get that? It's Eastern religion. But that is not putting God's word on your lips. Glory to God. say, that looks like the word. It's not the word. It's not the word. Just that I can't get that book out, I'll just show it to some of you. Just see this. You'll be shocked, but don't go for it. Oh, it's just a stupid book. Amen. You know, look at the answer. The secret. Just very rubbish. Okay. So somebody now brought it for me. Now say, the secret for teens. Can you buy it for your child so that when they grow, they'll know how to put their mind to work? I say, my child will know the word of God. The secret for teens. Not only for teens. And they now have the secret for children. The secret to what? Unlocking the potentials of the world. Did you see that? I said, you don't read them. How many of the potentials of the world have you unlocked? When you are selling the book. Just like the man selling the book on the road. How to get rich. And he's not rich. How to get rich in 24 hours. And you are very poor. Yeah, have to be a billionaire in dollars. And you've never gone to guru the chain. Do you get? Amen. Amen. So, you know, this is a very vital. And their philosophy is like that all over the world. So the fact that somebody mentions Christ or give an expression that looks something like godly doesn't make it. Look at the explanation from scriptures. And that is why a believer must know, at least have, you must be able to read scriptures well. Read scriptures well. So don't quote A and marry it with Z and say it's the word. Can't you see it? No. Amen. Amen. And that's what the local church is for. Where you are taught. That's what where you are taught how to read your Bible well. Amen. You will be able to discern these things. Glory to God. I just see people, some people teach about meditation. You think it's avatar. teach about meditation. They will just go and download it from Krishna. You know what? And then you're like, I'm telling you, a Muslim person told me, do you guys do exegesis? I'm serious. In my head, you know that I'm knowledgeable. How did this person know it? And we would look at the Quran very well and go. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So very vital. So and Paul has to face this here in this church. Says, I can't build my members and you will see. We're training ourselves. We're not have such members today. We might have them tomorrow. People that you would win, that will be saved, that you need them on your route to evangelism. But you're teaching about Jesus. Say, no. Let me tell you something. Christ is an expression. Some people say the God is expressed in man. How man helps his fellow man. Amen. He said, see, I'm a God to people that I help. So the reason for humanitarianism, the reason why they will give to people is because they are showing you that they are God. You see that? The expression, and they will be nice people. I'm telling you the truth. One of the men he gave people to build churches. He gave money. A good philanthropist. Big one. One of the biggest philanthropists that ever came out of Africa. Came from Nigeria actually. He built churches for people in Nigeria. And he wasn't born again. He was not born again. And he was very good. We can have people who are good. But what is the rationale behind it? Some people are very good, always giving. Say, I love this guy, he's a giver. And some people, they are already blinded. They think because he's giving that way, he's born again. They will confine you with the title of being born again when you're not even born. And why you're not the person who is doing that? Is it not because he's expressing that he's God? Did you see that? Humanitarianism. He's expressing his God. And you have to deal with that. Buy them clothes. Buy people things. Are people happy? Say, yeah, I make people happy. Is that not what your God do? Yeah? Someone one day wanted to talk about the miracles. When we went to preach, he did not teach the word. He now carry tract. At the back of the tract, somebody got miracle money of 5,000 naira. Is it 5 or 50,000? No, is this all your God could do? Say, I'll put 3 zeros at the back. Come and worship me as God. Do you see that? Some people, when they don't do that, they don't say, thank you. They say, hey, I'm God. I've received worship. Do you see that? So you have to deal with that. So those are knowledge. You're already creeping it. And Paul also, like pastors of today in cosmopolitan cities like ours, would have to deal with. Amen. One more verse. Okay, 12. Let me get to 12. He says, bear with him. Circumcision of Christ, right? It doesn't say buried with him in baptism. What that? Buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism. Now, what that was? Buried with him in baptism will be, you have the same expression of Paul within Romans 6. Say, shall we continue to live in sin? That grace may abound in sin, nay, how shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? Say, don't you know, as many of you who were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death. Say, we'll bury with him in baptism. You see that? Because Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too should walk in newness of life. So he said, I will continue in sin that grace may abound. No. Amen. Amen. He says, so he brings in that very fact of the fact that we are being buried in baptism. Hallelujah. Buried with in baptism. So that buried in baptism is a stop from sin nature. You know that? Sin is dealt with in our unification, in our identification rather, with Christ. In his death, burial, and resurrection. So we don't continue in sin. Now, he's not dealing with conduct here. He's talking about the nature of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very vital. Now, he brings out that expression there. That baptism. You also find it in Ephesians 4 verse 5. And 1 Peter 3:21. Now, you see what Paul is doing. He brings in that identification. Now, Paul, as I have in my notes, is expressing with different vocabularies that experience will have in the resurrection. Different vocabularies. He has said in verses 10, we are complete in him. Right? We are circumcised. Now he said we are buried with him. The same expression with different vocabularies. He said we are buried with him in baptism. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. So he calls that faith through the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Paul is saying is that by this circumcision, which is the entry, you are raised with him. So by faith in Christ, circumcision, so we are raised with him. Identification. Identification. So put that side by side. Don't forget where we are coming from. Colossians 1:15. He says, who is the image of the invisible God and firstborn of every creature? Now remember, we say every creature is not every creature in the world. Every creature there will be what? Every creature circumcised, buried with him. Did you see that? Did you see that? Buried with him, raised together with him. Hallelujah. So the every creature there will be every creature of the circumcision. The man who identifies in Christ. Hallelujah. Who are following me? Am I up to now? Okay. 13. Let's deal with some things here. Now, verse 13. It says, and you, being dead in your sins. Now he reminds them of where they are coming from. Watch it. So you've been dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh had quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Now, watch it. Being dead in your sins. Now, when you use that word sins there, is the word paraktoma. Paraktoma. From two words, para and tikto. Tikto. Para is for beside, tikto is to walk. So that means paraktoma actually implies to misstep. To misstep. To misstep. Paraktoma. He says, and what does he call the paraktoma there? He says, the flesh. Uncircumcision of your flesh. Did you see that? So he calls the man who is not born again insane. The flesh. He said, but what has happened? Has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses? That quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Check note, where is it coming from? In verses 12, he said, we are raised together. Right? We are raised together. Then he reminds them of where they are coming from. He said, but now, we have been quickened together with him. And he calls it forgiveness. So Paul uses forgiveness and the resurrection together. Or he uses forgiveness as what happens to us in the resurrection. Having forgiven our trespasses. Forgiven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we'll be lost on you to see where Paul is reading from. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. Sorry. A second, wait. Let me look at that again. Well, I'll get that sorted out. Just a minute. This is Mark I wanted to write. Mark says something. I'll check that later. Okay. I'm thinking I wanted to write Mark. Okay. Glory to God. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. It brings that word blotting out. Permit me. I want to show something here. Sorry. Now, is that word exalepho, E-X-A-L-E-I-P-H-O. That word blotting out, exalepho, used for to wipe out, to clean, to have a clean slate. To wipe out, to have a clean slate. Is a word you'll find used for the resurrection in Acts 3 verse 19. Acts 3 verse 19. He said, repent therefore and be converted, and your sins being blotted out when the time. Now that word maybe blotted out is actually the word being blotted out.
I have to say that we'll do this correction.
Being blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So repent and your sins being blotted out, and he said that happens when the time of refreshing, and that was referring to the resurrection. Amen. Amen. You also find it in Revelation 3:5, Revelation 7:7, and Revelation 21:4. Now, quickly, he gets again, and then he says, back to Colossians. Please, let's cover up a feet and round up the next class. And I mean, round up the whole book together, we would run it. Amen. That is what? 14. So, blessed are the handwriting. Now, handwriting of ordinance. Now, he used the word handwriting there, kerographo. Kerographo. C-H-I-R-O-G-R-A-P-H-O-N. Kerographo. Now, this is like an imagery. Now, Paul is bringing in an imagery. He creates an imagery on our minds. Now, it's not that there is a debt, handwriting against you as a person. No. Amen. Now, what is he talking about? He says, being dead in sin, where you are coming from. Did you see that? Amen. So, it's not, he's referring to where you're coming from. Now, he says, something, now, when he used the word kerographo, it's something like a debt. Now, he used an imagery. So, he says, the handwriting, so he used the writing, or the writing out of debt to explain what happened in the resurrection. This is that. It's not like something was written against you. No. It's not you, but actually us. Us there is referring to where you are coming from. Did you see that? And that is darkness. Am I following me? Amen. It is the handwriting of ordinance, dogma, that was against us, which was contrary to us. Now that word contrary is where you have the word adversary. Opponent. Adversary, opponent. And what is the opponent we've been reading? Who could tell me what the opponent is? Is there knowledge? No? Okay, yeah, but actually, what we've been reading as the adversary, we'll go back to verses, let's get back to verses 11. It mentions putting off of the body of sin of the flesh. You see that? Verse 11, the flesh. Hope you follow me. So, what's the adversary here is the flesh, where we are coming from. The flesh. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So, what was against us was the flesh. So, he said it was taken away. The flesh that was dealing with the old man is dealing with the old man. Nature. Sin nature. I don't want to call use that word, but let me just follow it for this teaching. Amen. Hope you follow me. So, what was against us? What is the adversary of the flesh? Where we are coming from? Sin. He took it away. He said, nailing it to the cross. Now, nailing it to the cross again is not that when you look at the cross, you see sin. No. Nailing it to the cross again is that imagery he's painting. Remember what I said to us on Thursday? When we're having our midweek service, I said, in the use of serpents. in the use of serpents. Jesus isn't saying he is the serpent in John chapter number 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent. No, he's not saying he's the serpent. We say rather, he reworks Moses again for us. Was that what we said? Jesus reworks Moses for us. Meaning what has happened at the time of Moses, they were beaten of a serpent. Moses made a brazen serpent and put on the pole. Right? So, he made a brazen serpent dead and put on the pole. So as many has looked to see what? To see that the serpent is dead. Were he. Did you see that? To look and say, oh, there's judgment for the serpent. We're made well. Then look and say, oh, judgment has been passed. We're made well. So Jesus is now saying, in his death, right? In his death, you should also see that in his death is the death to sin. Did you see that? Glory to God. In the death of Jesus, you find death to sin. Follow that. So therefore, it implies in the resurrection is death to the flesh. So that is why in Romans 6, Paul will start off by saying, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? When he says continue to sin, is there grace? No, it's the other who are dead to it. He's not saying you are dead to sinful habits. We're going to get to that. He's not talking about I don't want to miss this up now. He's not talking about conduct there. We're talking about the nature. Did you get that? Talking about the nature. He says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? So we are dead to sin. Do you see that? Live any longer in it. Those of you who are baptized in Christ, we are baptized in the death, we say we are buried in him, and as God goes on the death, by the glory of the Father, we should walk in newness of life. Do you see that? So that means he's dealing with the life there, with the nature. We're no longer under the nature of sin, but in the nature of God. Do you see that? Amen. In the nature of God. So that means in the life of God, there is death. See, there is death in God's life, yes, death to the flesh. So when we receive the life of God in by faith that is found in Christ, they will also put to death that nature of sin. It has happened. How are you following me? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Does it happen? So that means I'll put it like this. So that someone doesn't misquote me. In the life of God, you find judgment to the flesh. Yeah, you say there's life, there's death in God's life. Sorry. It is actually judgment to the flesh. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now verse 15. It says, having spoiled principalities and powers. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, calm down. I know we've taught these things in different fashions, at different junctions, in different bus stops. I've heard a man of God one time say something like, what happened in the grave? How we even got here is, look at what he's saying before now. How did you not get to grave? What happened in the grave? And when Jesus got to hell, Satan wanted him to bow. They wanted him to bow. They started pressing him. And that was where they acted this, you guys, where is he? He is not here. You guys acted, I got to say, I got to ask 10 manifestations of the sons of God. Beating him. What was that song he was singing? You raise me up so I can stand the mountain. Yeah. Glory to God. And then, they started pushing up to God, to Jesus, and engage them. See, his false principalities. It's good to make a mockery of the devil. But in doing that, don't make a mockery of the word. Yeah. So before them, like people now picture, the first time I heard it, I won't mention the name of the pastor. But later, after a while, the pastor now came and said, no, don't picture a WrestleMania warfare. Because everyone took a WrestleMania now, it's like in a wrestling. Like in a wrestling. So when Jesus got into hell, so they came at him. But you know, he just kept doing them like this. So we had a ring-like mindset. Jesus was in the ring. Then he now took a hold of the devil. He now beat him. And now made a whole public show of him. Yeah. Where did he show it? See, he made a public show of it. Now, that question of where, we have started answering it amongst us. Because the man probably didn't say where. I said, made the public show of it in hell. Then we saw that Satan was powerless. And they did not jump back. And they still stayed with him to today. So he made a show of it. We're just taking them from door to door to prison. Say, see, I've beaten him. And then in Revelation, he now said, how will I marry to Revelation? Say, I have the keys. Say, this one calls the keys. I have the keys now. It is well. It is well. Wonderful doctrine. So that, after a while, I said, no, don't picture a ring-like mindset. What should we then picture? They just know that he dealt with the devil. He dealt with the devil. He disarmed him. You know, he had disarmed. We that went to military, okay, I didn't go to military school. We that had military-like background. We said disarm. Disarm means just did one search on it. Just remove his gun. This house. Amen. Well, like I said, nothing wrong with making a mockery of the devil, but at the same time, don't make a mockery of a word. Now, he used the word having spot principalities and powers, yeah? Right? Right? Now, what is it called? Let's deal with a few things. The word spoil. The word spoil, yeah? Is that word used for to put off? To put off. Apegdomai. To put off. So, what did he put off? This is a question you should ask. Verse 11. In whom ye are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in the putting off. That is the word. Of what? The body of sin. Of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So what is put off is sin. The body of sin. That's the same word. Put off. The body of sin. So, we can say, having put off principalities and powers, right? So leave spoil out of it now. Amen. Because when you spoil, what comes to mind is disharm. It has been said, having disharmed principalities and powers. Disharm. But it's actually to spoil, to put off. Is that disharm? You're thinking, principalities and powers, they're carrying armories. Grenades. So Jesus began to put them off. Oh yeah, in the market, take it out. Fast. No. Amen. Amen. To put off. Hallelujah. You also find it again in Colossians 3:9. It says, lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds. This is that put off the old man and his deeds. So the putting off there is the body of sin. You see that? Is what? The body of sin. So therefore, having put off, we'll see what is put off. Now, he now calls that which is put off principalities and powers. So that means principalities and powers now will simply use in two forms. For beings and for things. You see that? For beings, in chapter 1, verses 16, and then 14 here. Did you see that? Amen. And make a show. The word to make a show then is that word for to make a public example. So he put off sin in making a public example by triumphing. Now, how did he make a public example of it? Is that he triumphed over them in it. So that word, when we use the word triumph there, is that Paul now borrows a Roman, I call it a Greco-Roman culture of how you parade. So he parades. That's the word, to parade. Hallelujah. Parade. Triumphing over there. Parading, how you parade something. So that means he borrowed that word to show what happens. To show how God has expressed what he has done in Christ's resurrection. Amen. By parading it. How is he parading it? In the preaching of the gospel. A man gets saved. Right? The body of sin is taken off. Did you see that? Amen. The body of sin is taken off. So, what Paul is saying is that in the preaching of the gospel and men being saved, God is publicly demonstrating what he has done in the resurrection of Christ, that the body of sin is taken off. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Therefore, we can say the new birth is God displaying what he has done in Christ. So, did you see what Paul is doing? Paul is using words, expression of words, to display what God has done. Different vocabularies. Amen. Amen. So, in verse 16, he now moves from knowledge to legalism. Watch it. In verse 16, now say, let no man. Now, 1 in 3. Last week we were 1 in 2, right? Last time we were 1 in 2. 1 in 3. He now say, let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of holy day, or a new moon, or Sabbath days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let no man judge you. Now when you use the word man there, this is legalism. When you use the word man there, I told us that that is not man in quotes. It's actually referring to let nothing judge you. The word judge is the word krino. Krino. Let nothing judge you. In food. And this is vital. Hallelujah. In food. Now that's actually meat or in drink. In meat or drink. Let nothing judge you in meat or drink. Why? Or whether of holidays or new moon or Sabbaths. Because remember, different belief systems. Right? Different belief systems. Judaism, Krishna, they have different belief systems. Even Peter too. Jesus wanted to get through to Peter. He spoke to Peter. He brought in four feather beasts. Peter said, far beasts for me. And me. I will eat python. You get? Oh Lord, not me! Belief system. One, I heard this story years back growing up. He said someone's parents killed a vulture. And then they cooked it and they ate it. Years are down the line, somebody will now say, now told one pastor, we're going on, father gave us culture. The pastor now said to him, the vulture you ate is the reason for all your problems. Ed Bamil. Reason for all which problem. Are there no people too that eat the vulture? There are people that eat it. One man, have you not heard that one man's meat is another man's poison? You kill cockroach. You see free cockroach, you are killing cockroach. Ah! Some people are looking for that cockroach to eat. Believe, say, don't ever hear this. Are you going to hell? No! Let no man judge you. Give it a go. For me, my life, I can never, ever, 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 ever do it. I was saying I would never ever eat good dog meat until they gave me dog meat. I didn't know it was dog meat. I was asking for another one. Said, they give me more. They dog meat. I said, oh my God, but it was sweet. I was going to do No. But it was sweet. So let nothing judge you. Just switch your feet. If it is, man, I'm so good to pull up, but it's a bra. Shut up. Nothing will happen to you. Nothing will happen to you. Glory to God. So food. So let no one judge you in food. Now this is legalism. Now this part is where you have been told, you don't eat this food. If you eat this food, you are a sinner. 7 days Adventist. Amen. If you do this, if you eat that, you go to hell. If you eat crawfish, animals that chew the cord. If you take all the animals that chew the cord away, you have no meat to eat. They're just telling you, be a vegetarian. But they don't want to be vegetarian. They have split the wolf and chew the cord. The goat meat you like, Ogufe. Is there? Yeah. You know, since I just started having it, since I took all these too. I've not been eating well in terms of meat. I no longer eat meat. But I've been eating Ogufe. I eat Ogufe very well. My mouth does not reject that one. But Ogufe, I eat it. Yeah. It's got that, but I eat it. That's something you can't take away. They don't eat red meat. It's a guy. Calm down. Let no one judge you. Right? Now, we're getting there. In meat. Why? Because there's the food. We know that there's the food. John 6. Right? John 6, 27. Let's get to John 6, 27. Now. You see, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Do you see that? But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father seen. So there is the meat that is important. Hallelujah. So let the boy judge you in eating, whether you're eating crawfish, or you're eating seafood, or you're eating land food, or you're eating, amen. Let no one judge you, because there is the meat that you have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that is the flesh of Jesus. The flesh of Jesus is the spirit which we have all received of, right? John 6, verse 65. He said, the word I speak unto you, said they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In John 6, 55, he says, my flesh is food indeed. Amen. It's bread indeed. Hallelujah. So, he's saying, let nothing judge you in physical food or drink, because it is the, right? Amen. Let nothing judge you in food or in drink. Because our food and our drink are in the resurrection. Hallelujah. So don't be judged. Don't allow somebody not be saying, because you did not do, because you did not, the reason why you are like this is because you don't need to take communion. You are not taking, God, calm down. If you understand the fact that Jesus' body is bread indeed, you won't have a problem with communion. When I mean having a communion, we will be whether to take it or not to take it. Amen. Amen. Do we take the communion? We take the communion, but we don't take it as bread and wine as they share around. But we take the communion. What is the essence of the communion? Love for the brethren. Right? Amen. Our love for the brethren. Because that is where you find we are a body, we are members of the same body. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So that is very vital. Let's get back.
Let's see how I can wrap this up on time. Gone beyond my hour mark.
Now he says, let no one else be in meat and drink on the rest of holy days. Now he says, with the rest of holy days or new moon or Sabbath days. Now these are feasts, the Jewish feasts, right? These are feasts, the Jewish feasts. So what Paul is doing is that Paul is reworking the Jewish feasts. Let nobody judge in feasts. Now you might not necessarily in our world today, you might not be necessarily Jewish feasts today, but let nobody judge in some certain kind of feasts. Amen. Glory to God. Yesterday was Oro Atikorodu. Oro. I pastor. I remember when I said to you, Oro is this is our religious, our traditional New Year, Oro. Amen. So you must observe Oro, you must. Amen. Nobody judging those things. Amen. Amen. No one judging those things. That you now become, you now start feeling guilty. Oh, I don't used to. Yesterday was Christmas. Today, let's not get into that. It's a new moon. Now, new moon is used for beginning of months. In Numbers 10:10, Numbers 28:11, the beginning of months. So if you have moons that used to depict the beginning of a new moon, it says, let nobody judge you in months. Amen. Whether it's Gregorian calendar or is lunar solar calendar or is any calendar, don't be judged. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's say let nothing judge you. Amen. He calls them. He said this. He said which are shadows of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. See, they are shadows. That's what's skia, from the word skoto. Skia, from the word skoto. Now, the word skia is not used for anything positive. In Matthew 4 verse 16, skia, Matthew 4 verse 16. Matthew 4 verse 16 says, it says, the people who sat in darkness saw great light, and to them who sat in the religion and shadow of death, light is stronger. Light. So, is the word darkness. Kotu. So, shadow is on darkness. Writing in Luke 9:78 is darkness. Darkness, shadow. Now, Hebrews 8. Very interesting part I want us to look at. Hebrews 8 verse 5. Hebrews 8, 5, yeah, it says, apart from verses 1, it said, now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the psalm, we have such a high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices,
whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that they are priests which offer gifts according to the law. He said, which serve as examples and shadow of heavenly things. Watch it. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown thee on the mount. So, shadow. Shadow is used for darkness, like I said, nothing positive. Right? Right? Amen. So, he now says, shadows are used, if shadows are in darkness or implies darkness, therefore means God does not communicate in shadows. Right? He said that him is light and there is no darkness at all. So God doesn't communicate in shadows. He doesn't communicate in shadows. And shadows, when you stick to shadows, it will darken your understanding about heavenly things. Let's take that Luke 9:79. So I'm looking at something else. How did I get to 79? I just know that there's something all right here. 59. Sorry. Luke 1:79. It says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow and in shadow of death, a guide to our feet into the way of peace. Amen. To give light to them that sit in darkness. So that means darkness will mean to be away from light, right? And it has and it deals with unbelief. When it deals with your understanding of spiritual things being darkened. Chapter 10:1 of Hebrews, it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the commerce thereunto perfect. So that means their understanding of heavenly things were darkened. You see that? So shadows darken your understanding of heavenly things. Chapter 10:1. Hebrews 10:1. For the law having a shadow, having a shadow of good things. So their understanding was darkened. Amen. So when you stay in the practice of the shadows, your understanding of heavenly things are darkened. Remember, God doesn't communicate in shadows. Amen. But when we get back to that Hebrews 8:5, he now points two things about darkness. Watch it. Because you must, in as much as God doesn't communicate in shadows and shadows darken your understanding of heavenly things, yet there's a way to handle the shadows. Amen. Amen. Hope you're following me. Now, what darkens your understanding of spiritual things? When you stick to the shadows, that's what I said, right? When you remain with the shadows, your understanding of spiritual things will be darkened. But there's a way you should handle darkness. Just like in Genesis 1:2. All God had was darkness, dark water. Hope you know that. Amen. All God had was dark waters. Genesis 1:2. He said the earth was without form and void and darkness. So that was all God had.
But God made use of what he had. He said the Spirit of God brood over the surface of the deep. So God will have to walk in with what he has available. Amen. So that means there's a way you will handle the shadows. Hope you're following me. There's a way shadows must be handled. You must handle it. In Genesis chapter 1, I mean Genesis 3, Adam and Eve had sinned. But yet, God is still going to walk with them like that. Hallelujah. He didn't chicken out and say, God didn't chicken out and say, oh, these guys are messed up. Let me just scatter everything and start again. No. We're still going to walk with them like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the fact that it shadows doesn't mean stay away. No. There's a way to handle it. So, in chapter 8, verse 5 of Hebrews, he said, watch it. He says, in verse 5, he says, who serve as examples and shadows of heavenly things, right? Right? Darkening heavenly things, right? As Moses admonished, was admonished of God, see that you make the tabernacle. See that, when he was about to make the tabernacle, for seeth he, that thou make all things according to the pattern. The word pattern is what hypodegma. Amen. So that means, the shadows will serve as what hypodegma. Amen. Hypodegma, that's which points to a fact or something that points to a greater fact. That means the shadows will point to something greater. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So what is this saying? Let's get back to Colossae. Since we've seen this, our shadows can be used in two forms. So what is this saying in Colossae? Chapter 3, verse 17. I mean chapter 2, sorry. It says, which are a shadow down. It says, watch it. It says, in respect of holy days or new moon or Sabbath. And I say, which are a shadows of things to come. Meaning, what they had, right? Remember, the Jewish culture, Judaism, culture, tradition, it said they were used as shadows. So don't let anyone judge you. Because how they were used as shadows. They are shadows, right? So meaning if I stick to it, it will darken my understanding of heavenly things, right? But if I know how to use it, I'll see what it is pointing to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, but the body is of Christ. Verse 18. Then let no man beguile you. Use that same word beguile again. As you find it in chapter 2. Verses 4. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshipping of angels. Now, he brings that in. He says, use that word, worshipping of angels. Voluntary humility and worshipping of angels. Intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. This is secretism. Mistrust. Heaven. Now this is mixtures of both belief systems. This is belief systems. Amen. Many of those instant religion are religion that thrives on angelic visitation or on angels. Amen. You see the Islam, when they tell you how they got their Quran, when they tell you, in as much as some people know how they got it. Amen. Someone like me, I'll tell you. It's not hard to see. Glory to God. So, but the theories around it was went to a mountain and an angel appeared and then, do you understand me? Angelic visitation. Glory to God. Is it that we don't believe that they are angels, we believe they are angels. Right? Right? We understand what the ministry of angels are for. But not worshipping angels. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. What do you mean angels? We were one brother like that joined our meeting one time, Bro Michael. He joined our meeting one time and asked him to pray. No, Bro Ibro first. Bro Ibro was always disturbing that we should allow him pray. I mean lead meeting. So I discovered that Tunde was not agreeing. Tunde was not my friend. That was just verse 4 and 6. Was not agreeing for him to preach. I'm like, Tunde, why? Now allow this guy to preach now. I know, Ibro must not preach. If somebody has any Ibro,
So he said he's born again. So you bro Ibrahim, all those rubbish. So the rabbi said, you know, he's born again.
Well, he went to church.
So, but he didn't change his name because his father was a conk Islamic guy. But the mom attends CAC. The father is a Muslim, the mother is CAC. This is born again. But he answered in Hebrew. So Tunde was like, no, you shouldn't pray. I said, Tunde, Allah him. Just let him, okay, we will not pray. Let him just lead prayer. When he leads prayer, I'll come up and teach. So, oh yeah, come and lead prayer. This man, thank God, he had the point. Actually, it was me that was a priest. So let him just pray. I'm just did opening prayer and then I'll come up. And this brother just stood up and said, everybody, let's close our eyes. I'll close our eyes. And I said, don't talk. Evil angels are passing. My eyes were open. I looked at him. They looked at me. I said, ha. Would be. What did I do? You know, like, is it still just doing here like this? Like, is you that have brought yourself into this lead meeting? Let me just come up and preach. Is a bad angel, close eye. Bad angels, don't talk. Bad angels are passing. But close eye and say, okay, they are already going. Good angels are coming. They just shouted. Okay, get out of that measure. he was not of that very strong doctrinal, strong persuasive person. He can shout out. I just came up. Then I preached. From that day, I did not give him thin. He didn't even if he cut his allowance. It's not only allowance, it's allowances. He did not even see arguing. All rubbish you come to do, Hebrew. It's a bad angels. Not the bad angels. Another brother, this one is a believer, attends one of the white garment churches, came and then was now praying, say we pray holy angel Michael. I said, what? Holy angel, what? Yeah? Believer! It's not a joke. He speaks in tongues, so. This is Jeremiah's disciple. He speaks in tongues. You know, the people you see there, you know, Jeremiah's disciple. That's all. The Jeremiah's disciple speaks in tongues. Ah! Holy angel, Kini. Church. Mike, Kini. That was the same brother I said. While I was preaching, he said, give us an example, and I said, your hand will stand still in the name of Jesus. So that was the same brother. I said, holy angel, Michael. We are praying. That's in that's how, because, well, I won't blame that. That's how he used to pray. Amen. See, as we are ringing the bell, we are calling Jehu Uriah. We are ringing bell, Jehu Uriah. Uriah. In Jehu Raphael. In Daniel. I now find sometimes that believers who are here in the world, they're having this mystery swing their head. I'm praying to Michael and Mary and what rubbish is that? Amen. Glory to God. It's called, you know, we'll get to see, Paul calls it vain worship. Amen. Vain. Glory to God. Vain. Glory to God. Glory to God. He calls it vain worship. Let's get them. He said, you reward in voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Amen. That his fleshly, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Some people are like that. This is secretism. Now bringing those belief systems from even this, say, like give my angel control. Angels, you go and do this. It's a belief system. You must be careful. It's a belief system. See, I speak, and then I hear, angel, go, take charge of it. Where have you seen that in scriptures? Have you seen that in scriptures?
We give control to angels. Angels, right now, I release angels in the name of Jesus to go to Mafluku. To go and do what? Go and buy a penipu. You find out in scripture. They were already creeping in. Go and show me in scripture where any of the apostles, even Jesus, sent angels on assignment. God, in a man, angels right now, station angels at Mafluku. You have prayed like that. It's a belief system. Glory to God. Who is that? Glory to God. The belief system. Hallelujah. He says, okay, he said, let no one beguile you. We could even go beyond this, but I won't leave it here because when we get to verses 22, when it says, which are all to perish with the using, we also see some other things there. Because I want to mention also, is this some people going to vain worship of things. And they are Christians. I'm not talking about, we could easily differentiate going to meet an herbalist. Right? They say that one, no. Even somebody that is blind, who not going to see an herbalist, is not Christian. Right? But as a believer, this one has crept in where? Right? Another thing is, sometimes people now begin to worship image. Image. I'm going to deal with that. Worshipping image goes beyond worshipping Mary. They say, no, how can you go and station Mary and then be doing like this? Doing like this. But yet you have Jesus' calendar at home doing you, my guy man, like this. Yeah, Jesus is standing like this, or like this, or like this. Yeah, and you look at and say, oh, the Master Jesus. That's entered. Amen. That's entered. I shared with some pastors some days, but I shared with the pastor. I said, no, that was it. He said, do you discover that there is no trace of where you have a picture? You can't have a picture of Jesus anyway. Was it you or someone? I guess no. It was somebody else. So you can't have, okay. For someone that read Kenny Higgins materials. They say you only listen to Kenny Higgins. I was on the island. So I said, have you noticed the fact that you don't have such pictures anywhere? You don't. The guy was quiet. I said, no, you don't have it. In fact, God also warned that you shouldn't liken him to anything. There was a reason that you don't have an image in your head. Once there is that image, is idol worship. Is that? They don't have an image. There should be no image in your head about God. Hallelujah. There should be no image. Let's round this up in verse 19 and then we'll pick it up into chapter 4. I'm going to take your time the next time we have this meeting. Might spring up to 3 hours, but we'll be fast. Let's take verse 19. I'm not holding. Watch it. Going forward, I'm not holding the head from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. Put this side by side with Ephesians. Chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Amen. Put it side by side. He says, so he brings in the same verbiage of words. He says, I'm not holy. He says, so such will do this. Right? I'll put it in a short form today and then we'll continue tomorrow. Now, when he says, not holding the head there. Remember, we were talking about the head. Right? The head. Before now. And we're referring to it as the product of what has happened in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So he said, this one is, I'll put it in this one for you. He says, I'll read from verse 18. Don't get detached from 18 into 19. He said, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding the head, from which now that head there will be. Now remember, holding the head meaning he's not paying attention towards the knowledge of Christ's resurrection, right? For which other body soma, by joint and bands, has a nourishment ministered and meet together, increase with the increase of God. Hallelujah. So Paul again in responding to both philosophy, responding to legalism, and as we get into secretism much more into verse 23, and then we'll begin to see how Paul now writes that into conduct in chapter 3 and then into chapter 4 where he gives his closing remark. You will see the fact that he places the supremacy of Christ's knowledge above every other knowledge, and that is where the believer's identity can be found and related with Christ's supremacy, the knowledge of Christ above every other knowledge. Today in our world, we have different knowledge everywhere. Thank God for God's word, but we'll put it out much more. That different knowledge around. Universalism is everywhere. Atheism, agnostics, they're everywhere. Amen. When you go to meet people and they tell you, see, them your God, I'm God. Amen. I've heard people say things like that, that they are God. Amen. Serious, different, religious, whatever, even amongst people. I know of a friend, a Christian brother, his elder brother. The father was a pastor. But that guy grew up saying he doesn't believe in God. He will tell you. He fought Sunday with everything. And you know what? Where he now gets it mixed up is on the fact that he didn't even, in fact, I still had this discussion with Tunde last time I was in Abuja, Kwara with him when he did his wedding. We had that conversation where we spoke about him, Broade. We still call him Broade or Uncle Ade. Father is a pastor, but you know, he went and he's working in a multinational oil and gas company. Did you see that? So he's not just in this level of, then he was still looking for a job as a petroleum engineer. He now got a job in the oil multinational company, whether it's Chevron or, and his money is, his salary has been, is earning in millions. The last time you saw him around 2016 or 2015, guy was all fat, was all big, fat up, big man. And I said, has he changed? He said, no, it's still the same way. I said, oh yeah, you see, they do this, your church. He left. And to now solidify his unbelief, he's now wealthy. So that automatically has cemented his unbelief. I'm telling you the truth. Whether people prosper. Yeah, I said I thought that's one of our recent teaching. Right? Christianity is not measured by whether people prosper materially or not. No, it's not measured by that. It's also because you are making money or not. No? Amen. Christianity, a lifestyle of a believer, is a lifestyle of content. Not greed. Content. The believer must learn it to be content. To be content as a person. in knowledge to be content. Don't run. Why are you running to? Your pastor is not running. Why are you running to? Me as a pastor. Even the small that I know, the little I know, I want to know it well. So why are you running to? Want to go on and get knowledge from where? Amen. Amen. I said to us, Cain was away from God's presence, but Cain was more very wealthy. He built his city. He was very wealthy. So wealth is not a measurement of whether you're a Christian or you are in God's will. Wealth is not a measurement of whether you are being led of God. It's good when you get a contract, you say, oh, thank God I got a contract, right? Right? But, you know, whether you execute the contract or not, whether you get a contract or not doesn't mean that God will. It's not a determinant. The same way too, miracle signs and wonders. Like I gave you an example of someone who was in an instant religion and yet he didn't fall sick. That can be a measurement for whether the person is saved or the person is right with God. Come and follow me. The only way you know someone who is right with God at any point in time is faith in Christ. And as a believer, that is where you should stay. Amen. Don't look for other things. Don't look for other things. When your quest for knowledge is a quest for knowledge outside what has happened to you in Christ, you are about to fall. Amen. Like I said to you, your quest for knowledge is to find out what has happened to you. Not to find out for additional. What has happened to you in Christ. And the only material you have is the Bible. Only material you have. So be careful. Stay with your pastor. If your knowledge about God crosses the line, there's the line, faith in Christ. Any knowledge you begin to acquire that begin to create doubt on your assurance of salvation, that is not the knowledge of Christ. It's not. It's not. Amen. Amen. That somebody saw an angel is not a justification. I know somebody that was sacked in an organization. And then the MD went home and dreamt. And an angel said to him, what is Tolu? But did they have a principle? They have a principle. Amen. You steal, you'll be sacked. This person stole, was sacked. In less than 1 week, the MD had a dream of an angel saying, call back that person. And just a dream. No. He had a dream. And that there an angel appeared to him. And by hook, by crook, or by anything, the guy's name now appeared in the angel's mouth. The guy resumed back and called back the person. When the guy came, my people started telling him, oh boy, now Baba will do your soup. Now I will do my own. Yeah. But what am I saying? A validation, right, of the Christian practice is not whether you heard an angel. I've told you. The validation is God's word. What are you hearing me? It's God's word. God's word. Amen. It's God's word. Place God's word right. You know. It's God's word. First. I'm not saying angelic visitation are wrong. No. They're not wrong. Angelic visitation, I receive much more the ministry of angels. Right? Receive the help, supernatural help of angels. We see their ministries in our lives every day, everywhere. Right? But we don't get into vain worship of angels. It's called vain worship. We don't get into worshiping angels. No. Angels are not supposed to be worshipped. Jesus should be worshipped. God should be worshipped, not angels. You understand that? Amen. And that's what scriptures have taught us. And that's what we stay with every day. Hallelujah. Learn something? Just thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord.